time has come for you to arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord is upon you. My glory will help you tell my story. My glory covers you. My glory protects you. My glory lifts you. I will share my glory with you as you share your life with me. So lay down your life and your plans and be strong in mind and in my way stand. And I will lead you into green pastures beside still waters where your wants will be no more, for I shall meet all of them. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen, amen. Someone say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, worship team. Y'all may have your seats. Doesn't our worship team, don't they get better and better? Amen. Hallelujah. And then if we're having our Easter egg hunt this Saturday, when is it, 11 a.m.? Bring some kids out. If you want to come and help, come on. It'll be a great time. Good time to reach out into the community. And this Sunday also, we're having a special guest speaker. His name is Mike Vandevort. He was a missionary in Mexico, and now he's helping with a brand new YWAM base in Akron, Ohio. And so he's going to be here with us. Be a great time. Then on April 9th, mark that date on your calendar, we're having our very first arts and crafts show from 10 to 1. So if you if you're an artsy person or a craftsy person and you want a space, you can talk to Lisa about that for more details. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, you glad to be here tonight? You know that you're not here by accident or coincidence. You're here by design. There's no such thing as accidents or coincidences in the kingdom of God. It's not by happen chance or by luck. It's by design. And you're here because God wants you here. And I just want to read a portion of Scripture from 1 Corinthians chapter 9 before we get into the message tonight. And 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11 says this: If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things, or other versions say your material things? Amen? And you know what? When you invest in the kingdom of God, when you invest in VCF through giving, you're helping people get born again, getting them filled with the Holy Spirit. You're helping people get healed. We've had lots of people gotten healed over the years. And for lives to change and great things to happen. So when you invest in God's kingdom, you're putting seed on good ground. I just encourage you, as you're led by the Holy Spirit, to just give as He directs you. And God loves givers. You know why? Because He's the greatest giver. Amen. So, Father, we give you thanks and praise as we pray over our finances. Lord, our finances are seeds, and when we plant them in your ground, you cause them to grow and multiply back to us. And we're just so grateful that you're a good God. And we love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, tonight, I want you to go to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4. We're continuing with our series about how to avoid spiritual power outages. Did you know that as believers, you never have to have a spiritual power outage because you have the source of power within you called the Holy Ghost? And I want to focus tonight. I better read it so I get it straight. About being part of God's rescue squad. Did you know that when God brought you into His family, He made you part of His rescue squad? And we are here on earth to do our part in sharing and spreading the gospel throughout all this world. Amen. Did you know that? God enlisted you not just to be part of His family and take in all the good things that He has to offer, but He enlisted you as a worker in His kingdom. And He's got a getting His message out, the greatest story that was ever told. We have the privilege of sharing it with others. And so God wants you to be part of His rescue squad tonight. Amen? So we're going to talk about how you can be part of the rescue squad for God. Okay? And in order to be part of God's rescue squad, you have to understand some of these things. You have to understand this. The Holy Spirit is the source and activator of God's power. Say that with me. Say, the Holy Spirit is the source and activator of God's power. All right? He's God's powerhouse. Okay? And God chose to put Him in us. And in Luke chapter 4, it says some things here. We'll start with verse 1. It said, and Jesus, being full of what? The Holy Ghost. Now, if Jesus can be full of the Holy Ghost, can you be full of the Holy Ghost? Absolutely. Why? We're joint heirs with Jesus. What He gets, we get. If Jesus can be full of the Holy Ghost, then we can be full of the Holy Ghost. Full, not empty. Amen? Do you know when you're full after eating a good meal? You know, you feel like, oh, I can't eat anymore. I'm so full. I got to loosen my belt, right? Well, when you're full of the Holy Ghost, it means that you are exploding. You're bursting with God inside of you. And when you're full, He comes out. Even when you're agitated. Amen? See, Jesus was so full that He could walk and be given death threats and it not affect Him one bit. So Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan where He was baptized and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Okay? The wilderness is the place where God will see if your faith works. The wilderness is a place that we all go through. The Israelites went through the wilderness. Of course, they went through the wilderness 40 years by their own choice. Jesus went through the wilderness 40 days. How many would like to do 40 days rather than 40 years? The quicker you can believe and trust God is the quicker you'll get out of the wilderness. All right? So the Holy Spirit led Him in the wilderness, verse 2, being 40 days tempted of the devil. Wait a minute. Now, the Holy Spirit led Him to be tempted of the devil? Yeah, because the Holy Spirit knew that who was in Jesus is greater than the devil. So the Holy Spirit knew that Jesus was fully equipped to overcome. Amen? So listen, God can send you into the lion's den because you've got the greater lion on the inside of you. Amen? He can send you into the most difficult, hard place because He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. All right? So He did eat nothing, and when they were ended, afterward He hungered. Now, go with me. We're going to come back to Luke, but I want you to go to Romans 15 for just a moment, okay? Romans 15, verse 13. And we're going to come right back to Luke 4. Okay? This is an awesome verse. This ought to get you excited and motivated. Notice what Romans 15:13 says. Now, everybody say now. Did you know that God works in the realm of now? Faith is now. God works in the realm of now. Now, the God of hope, fill who? Fill you. Say, fill me. What's he going to fill you with? All joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Woo! This is God's plan for you each and every day. I'm going to read it again. Now, right now in this moment, the God of hope wants to fill you, each and every one of you, every one of us. God's got enough. He's got enough to fill each and every one of us, okay, with all joy. So if you came in here tonight and your joy is at half full, you're going to leave full, okay? Joy and peace, how? In what? How are you going to activate joy and peace? It's going to require you believing that God is working. All right? If you believe that God is working, say amen. That you may abound in hope, or you may abound in expectation, through the power of the Holy Ghost. Okay, let's go back to Luke chapter 4. Hallelujah. I saw some things in this passage of Scripture. And God wants to fill us. So, Jesus was here. He was in the wilderness. He didn't eat for 40 days. And the devil says something to Jesus in verse 3. He says, if you be the Son of God, let me tell you something. Every rescue person must be equipped properly. You must know who you are, what you're called to do, and whose you are. You've got to know what your purpose is, because the devil is going to say, if you be this. If you be this. See, you've got to believe who God made you to be. You've got to believe who God created you to be. Did God create you? Did God design you? Were you an accident? No, he designed you with purpose. He designed you on purpose. And Jesus had to be confident that he was the Son of God, because that was what he was going to be tested on. I mean, the devil could come to me and say, if you're really a pastor, why don't you make these people come? Amen? If I could make the people come, I would. But I know that God called me to this. And wild horses couldn't unconvince me of what God called me to be. Okay? The devil said, if you're the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. Jesus answered him, saying, it is written. So if you want to be part of God's rescue squad, you must know who you are and what you're called to do. And if you don't know that, you need to make that your priority to find that out in your life. It is your discovery. Where did Jesus find out who he was? From the book of Isaiah. Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. The Spirit of the Lord, he says it at the end of this chapter. If Jesus found who he was in the Word, where are you going to find who you are? In the Word of God. There's going to be a scripture that's going to jump off the pages of the Bible, and it's going to jump right into your heart, and God's going to say, that's who you are. And then you need to walk in who you are with confidence and security and assurance and certainty, because the devil will try to convince you that you're not who what God said you are. All right? verse 4, Jesus responded to the challenge with what it is written. If you want to be part of God's rescue squad, you've got to know what's written. You've got to know the Bible. You've got to memorize Scripture. Amen? And the more Scripture you memorize, the better off you can fulfill God's plan for your life. Did you know that God designed your heart for Him to write His law on? Your heart was designed to be written on it by God. He wants to inscribe His plan in your life. He wants to inscribe God's word into your life, and He can write. We've got to know what's written. If you want to be part of God's rescue squad, you've got to be able to point people to the Bible. I mean, opinions are great, but opinions don't heal people. Right? Opinions don't save people. But God's word. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they're spirit and they're life. God's word is light. God's word is life. God's word is strength. God's word is power. We've got to know what's written. And you've got to be able to locate where it's written. Jesus knew exactly what is written. Why? Because the devil's a liar. And God's word is a sword. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's the only thing that can discern thoughts and intents of the heart. So, Jesus learned how to fight the enemy with the word in the wilderness. See, in the wilderness is where you sharpen your sword skills. Huh? See, in the wilderness, it develops your fighting skill. See, in the wilderness is where you develop faith in God and you find out that it works. Was there anything that Israel lacked in the wilderness? When they needed water, God brought water from a rock. When they needed bread, He rained it down from heaven. When they wanted meat, He flew quail in it this high. You could knock it down with a baseball bat and have some fried quail, some baked quail, some fricasseed quail, whatever that is. All right, let's move on. Let's go to verse 8. Verse 8. You know, the devil told Jesus, he said, all this power I will give you, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. He said, if you will worship me, all shall be yours. And Jesus said in verse 8, Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan. If you want to be a part of God's rescue squad, you've got to know how to make Satan get behind you. You've got to know how to make Satan move out of your way. You've got to know how to not be intimidated by Satan. He said, Satan, get behind me. When we're part of God's rescue squad, we have the authority to tell Satan where to go. You've got to know your authority in Christ Jesus. He said, Satan, get behind me. And I guarantee you that when he said those words, Satan could not stand where he was. He had to move and get behind Jesus. You want to be part of God's rescue squad? You got to be able to tell Satan where to go. You got to be able to tell Satan to shut up. You got to be able to tell Satan, hold your peace. You got to be able to tell demons to come out of people. Did you know that you have that ability and that authority? Some of you are not sure. You have authority and power to tread on serpents and scorpions. Serpents and scorpions represent the kingdom of the demonic kingdom. You have authority and power to what? Tread on them. And over all the power of the enemy, Luke 10:19, and nothing shall by any means hurt me. So if you want to be part of God's rescue squad, you've got to be able to tell Satan where to go. If he's in your way, you have the ability and the power and the strength to move him. Because he's not greater than you. You're anointed, he lost his anointing. You're God's chosen, he's God's loser. Well, wouldn't you call someone who gets kicked out of heaven a loser? He just didn't leave, he got kicked out. Go down to verse 12. Then he tempted Jesus to throw himself off a cliff. I'll never forget, I heard the story one time. A guy was having a rough time and he was having these thoughts of killing himself. So he was on this bridge and he was thinking about it. And he kept hearing these thoughts and suggestions. He says, "Why don't you jump?" And finally, he just turned around to the voice and said, "Well, why don't you jump?" Amen? So that's how we got to talk to the devil sometimes. When he gives thoughts, ideas, and suggestions in your head to contradict God's word, you just need to say the opposite. All right. So he was trying to tempt Jesus. And then verse 12 says, "And Jesus answered and said unto him, It is said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." If you want to be part of God's rescue squad, you got to know how to resist temptation. You know that God gives a way out of every temptation that we face? He said in Corinthians, he said, "There's no temptation that is common to man, but in every temptation, he always gives us a way out." Amen? Was Joseph tempted with Potiphar's wife? Yes. Did he have a way out? Yes. He exited the building. Joseph has left the building. See, sometimes your way out of temptation is to leave the situation. You know, don't stand there and be faith man. Go live and preach again tomorrow. You know that there were times when Paul was let down in a basket at night? Because people wanted to kill him. So, God outsmarted the enemy, and he got Paul out of the situation so that when the people who wanted to kill him were there, they said, "Well, where's Paul? He's not here." He didn't try to stand his faith. I'm faith man. No. Listen. Jesus said, "You shall not tempt the Lord your God." If you're feeling tempted to do something that's against God's word, you do not have to do it. Do you realize that's just a thought, an idea, and a suggestion? You do not have to act on it. Now, your flesh is saying, "Come on, act on it." But you're not flesh-ruled, you're spirit-ruled. Your spirit responds according to the word of God. We've got to know how to resist temptation. Now look at verse 14. After Jesus went through all this, notice what happened. And Jesus returned in the what? The power of the Spirit into Galilee. Did you know that when you pass tests with God's help, He empowers you by the Spirit? He returned in the power of the Spirit. And notice this. Into Galilee, and there went out fame of him through all the region round about. God wants his people full of spiritual power. That when you go to your workplace, people see a difference in you. When you're walking down the mall, the aisle of Walmart, people notice something different about you. There's a power about you. You've been empowered by the Almighty. When you're pounding nails into a piece of wood, people see the power that's coming out of you. Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit, and that's when he became famous. Every person that's part of God's rescue squad needs to be empowered by God's Spirit. Go to Luke 24. Luke 24. If you're not ministering according to the power of the Spirit, what power are you ministering by? Are you trying to do it by your experience or by your ability? Man, if I tried to heal people, I could not do it at all. I can't save people. I can't deliver people, but the power can. And you know what? I'm just a vessel. I'm a conduit of God's power. And God's power just needs a vessel to flow through. You know, Paul told Timothy, he said, in a house there's many different vessels, one for honor, one for dishonor. He said, be a vessel of honor. He said, meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. Are we meet for the master's use? Can the master use you 24 hours a day whenever he needs to? Can he say, hey, Nate, I want you to intercede for this guy? Or can he say, hey, Melissa, go lay hands on that person. They need to be healed. That's how we need to be. He didn't just empower us. He just didn't give us power to come to church. He gave us power to affect our community, our sphere of influence. Luke 24, verse 49, Jesus said, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry or wait in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Have you been endued with power from on high? Have you been powered up? See, God gives us power not for ourselves, but to benefit others. He did that with the disciples. Acts 1:8, you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. What's that power going to help you do? It's power to witness. Everybody say to witness. What do you do when you witness? You testify to what you've seen and heard. That's all you do. You tell others what you saw and what you heard. Oh, let me tell you what I saw at church last night. This will blow your mind. Let me tell you what I heard God say the other day. That's what a witness is. You just tell what you've seen and heard. We've got power to be a witness. I've been empowered to be a witness. Now, I need you guys to say it like you believe it. I've been empowered to be a witness. I hope so. Now, come on. You got to say it with confidence. You got to say it like you mean it. You got to say it like you got some authority. Now, let's say it again. Empowered to be a witness. Yes. That's Bible. God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of what? Power. 2 Timothy 1:7. A love and a sound mind. You've got a spirit of power. You've got power in your DNA. God transferred his power via his son to you. So, if you're mechanically inclined, while you're turning wrenches, you've got the power of God operating in you. Amen? You can solve problems that other people can't. Why? You've got the problem solver in you. Okay, I better get going here. Go to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Talking about John the Baptist, says here, and many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. Did you know that you can't turn people to God without power? You better be turned on to God so you can turn others on to God. Power of God is infectious. Verse 17, he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Is that still going on today? Is Jesus coming back? Who's going to prepare the people for his return? You are. Me and you, together. But we need the power of God to turn hearts. Only God's power can turn a heart from being disobedient to being wise. I was disobedient. There was a time in my life when I was disobedient. But you know what? God's power got a hold of me. And it did something in my heart. It took out the stony heart, the hardness, the selfishness, and it put in me a new heart that was pliable and soft that God could squeeze and mold. God changed my heart. That was the power of God. We need the power of God to change hearts. When Peter preached, he didn't even have an altar call. The people said, "What do we need to do to be saved?" They were so convicted that they ran to him. We need God's power. God needs a people who are hungry for his power. Every one of us. We need power for preaching. We need power for serving. We need power for helping. We need power for giving. Forgiving and forgiving. Two things. Because if there's, the enemy tries to make people fear giving a great deal. Because you know what? If you can stop the supply line of an army, you can stop the army. So we need power to turn hearts. You don't have to turn there, but Luke 4:36 says, "They were all amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, 'What word is this? For with authority and power he commanded unclean spirits, and they came out.'" We have that same power. If you encounter an unclean spirit, you can command it to come out, and it has to come out. Unclean spirits cannot stay and operate what they're operating when they encounter God's power. And they just need someone to command them to come out in Jesus' name. You have the ability to command. Jesus empowered his disciples. Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Why? It's the power of God to salvation. Why do we need power? Because there's a world, we live in a world of darkness. A lot of the world is dark because their minds are blinded. And they don't believe. And we need God's power to open their eyes so that they can see. Go to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4 and verse 33. Listen, God needs all of us to be actively involved as being part of God's rescue squad. We are the front line of God's kingdom. Each and every one of us has a responsibility to, first of all, live the gospel, secondly, to share the gospel. And sometimes when you live the gospel, it makes it really easy to share it. Acts 4:33, "With great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon" who? Let's say that great grace was upon who? Let's say it again. Them all. Are we part of all? Do we have grace? Great grace gives great power. God's great grace. Isn't God's grace amazing? With great grace comes great power. Go to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Look at verse 38. "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth." What is Jesus in relation to the church? He's the head, right? Now, can your head be anointed and your body not? If your head gets anointed, I guarantee you that anointing is going to affect some part of the body. All right? Your head, it represents the whole of your body because it's part of your body, okay? If Jesus was anointed, then we, his body, God has what? anointed us. Say, I'm anointed. Look at your neighbor and say, you're anointed. Not annoying, anointed. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. God anointed us with the Holy Ghost and with what? Say, I'm anointed with power and the Holy Ghost. He'll make you wise in how to operate in the power. Okay? Why? Who went about doing good. You are anointed to do good. Say, I'm anointed to do good. You are not anointed to do bad or misbehave. You're anointed to do good. You've been anointed by God to do good. Okay? And healing all that were oppressed of who? Did you know that the devil is behind sickness? The devil oppresses people through sickness, but the anointing sets them free. The anointing removes the yoke. The anointing takes away the burden. And you're anointed. You're anointed to do good and to heal all who are sick and oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Is God with you? Isn't he Emmanuel? What is Emmanuel? God with who? With us. He's with us right now. And verse 39, we are witnesses of all these things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, who they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day. Listen, even if you have a bad day like a crucifixion, keep in mind there's always a resurrection coming afterwards. So the devil can give you his best shot called the crucifixion, but God has the last laugh called the resurrection. So we've been anointed for what? To do what? To do good and to what? Did not Mark 6:15 say, all believers shall lay hands on the sick and what? They shall recover. Who's a believer here tonight? If you're a believer, say, praise the Lord. Lift up your hands for a minute. Say, these are holy hands. And these hands have God's power flowing through them. Hallelujah. To do good. Amen. And you know what? Sometimes you got to make an effort to connect with God's power. Go over to Luke chapter 6. Luke 6 and verse 17. Luke 6, 17. See, too many people want God's power to connect with them, but God wants you to connect with his power. Luke 6, 17. And he came down with them and stood in the plain, and the company of disciples and a great multitude of the people out of all Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which, what did they do? Which what? Which came to what? What happens when you're hearing Jesus? What comes when you hear Jesus? Faith. Notice, Jesus was standing on the plain and the people came. How many know it's important to come and hear? Okay? And they came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were what? Healed. They were healed. What happens when you come in here? You get God's power. You get the miraculous. Amen? You get what you need. You get built up. You get edified. You get enriched. You get a deposit in you that only can come from God. And sometimes what he deposits in you makes you fall down, makes you jump for joy, makes you cry like a baby, makes you laugh hysterically, makes you run like a wild horse, makes you be still. Let me tell you something. God's power, it affects us all differently. And how it affects you is not wrong. But you just got to let the power have its way. Did you know that God will never embarrass anybody? He doesn't do that. Did you know that God is a gentleman? And he only comes by invitation. He only works in those who yield. You know, Jesus, it was Stephen that told the Pharisees they were stiff-necked and they always resist the Holy Ghost. How many know that God's power did not manifest to them because they were always resisting him? They were always resisting the truth. One more scripture. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. We'll finish with this one tonight. And let's go to verse 19. Ephesians 1:19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who what? Did you know that you can benefit from God's exceeding greatness power simply by believing? What do you believe? You believe God's power is real? You believe God's power is for you? You believe that God's power has been given to you? You believe in his power? How many believe in his power? Is there anything that his power cannot do? Is there anything too hard for God? All things are possible to them that what? Believe. Do you believe in the possibility that God can change a natural circumstance that's been a hindrance, that's been a prison, so to speak, that's been something that's binding, and he can make it into something better? Amen? I mean, when lame people encountered Jesus, they walked. When blind people encountered Jesus, they saw. When deaf people encountered Jesus, they heard. When possessed people encountered Jesus, they were delivered. They were set free. Okay? But it's important to know that the exceeding greatness of his power to usward. God wants to work his power in you. Amen? Anytime that you need it, any day, it doesn't matter. Okay? Who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. So God's resurrection power is still working in his body today. It's working to set us up. It's working to raise us up. It's working to give life to dead. Maybe you got some dead cells in your body. Well, there's one thing that can bring life to your dead cells. That's the resurrection power of God. It doesn't matter what condition you're in. God's power can change it. And set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. God's power will take you into another realm. It'll bring you up. It'll strengthen you. It'll fill you. Listen, life can give us empty voids. The devil can magnify disappointments. And he does that to try to get you down and to keep you down. He reminds you of your faults and failures. Just remind him of his future. And let's see how long he sticks around. When you remind him about his future, he's not going to want to stick around. But see, these things in life, they create voids in us. And then you come to a place like this called Wednesday Night Refreshing. And God brings refreshing times of refresh. Listen, the reason he says times is because sometimes we need more refreshing. Sometimes we need several times of refreshing. Amen? To deal with the life. Life drains you. But here you can be filled. Here you can get high octane. And guess what? The price of high octane power is free. All you got to do is come and get it and receive. So, I know that because you're here on a Wednesday night, you want to be part of God's rescue squad. But just like the firemen won't send, the fire company won't send firemen into a fire without being properly equipped, God wants to equip his people. Maybe you need to be delivered. You know, maybe you just got a devil on your back that's been giving you a hard time. Well, that's going to stop right now tonight. Do you realize it didn't take a long time for the man from Gadara who was possessed by several demons to get set free and in his right mind and put some clothes on? People were amazed. He was sitting next to Jesus, calm, with clothes on and in his right mind. That happened quickly. Jesus cast every one of those devils out of him. Not one could hang around. Every one had to go into a pig. And the pigs didn't even want him in there. They said, I'm getting out of here. The pigs jumped off the cliff. They don't like, if a pig doesn't like a devil, you shouldn't either. Amen? Now, you might be bound or oppressed, but it's time to be delivered and free tonight. You might be down, it's time to be lifted up tonight. You might be weak, it's time to be strengthened tonight. Amen? All my talk isn't going to make it happen, but God's power will. So I want to give you the opportunity to receive prayer tonight. Not only are you going to receive prayer, but you're going to receive power because you believe, right? God's power is here to do good. It's here to heal. It's here to change your perspective. It's here to give you direction. It's here, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, the Bible says there is liberty. There's liberty here tonight. There's peace here tonight. If you need, whatever you need, just come and get it right now. Come and dine, the Master's calling. You will not leave empty-handed.